Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience. From K3, welcome to APRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. All right. Every time we have somebody in the studio who hasn't been here before, you got to give them a few minutes as they acclimate to the studio and the process. We want to welcome Pastor Augie. Now, you think, aren't you going to say his last name, Dave? No, I'm not. And when he tells you his last name, then you'll know why. He happens to be the senior pastor of Redeemer by the Sea Lutheran Church. Pastor Augie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here. It's an honor.
It's our privilege to have you. By the way, how do you say your last name?
Yeah, I've been asked that a few times. And first thing I do is tell people, don't look at the letters. There's three I's and three C's all in one name. It's Ida Chico.
Ida Chico.
That's easy.
Okay. Well, if I wrote that down on a separate piece of paper.
Yeah.
But the famous Brian K. Smith did not give me that piece of paper. So I'm just going to go with, I'll have you do it every time we talk about it. Let's talk about Redeemer by the Sea Lutheran Church, located at 6600 Black Rail Road in Carlsbad. Talk to me a little bit about the church. So have you been the pastor at that church a long time, short time? Give me an idea. How long have you been the pastor?
I have been a pastor for 15 years. This is my 15th year ordained. And I've been at Redeemer by the Sea for about four.
Okay.
Into my fifth year. And it's a wonderful congregation. And one of the things I really love about it is that we actually have two styles of worship there. So we've got services for people that are more traditional minded and used to historic liturgy. And then we also have a great contemporary praise service for folks that are looking for that. A lot more casual. And
so you have two services, one running at 8:30, one running at 10:30. The 8:30 is the more traditional processed service, and then the more contemporary service is going to be the 10:30 service. And that's for people like me who been a Christian, you know, not short by comparison to many, but 37 years doesn't seem to be short, but in a sense it's short. But I sleep in. I'm exhausted. I get to Saturday, I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, I need to sleep in. But then 10:30 for a service, that's perfect for somebody like myself.
Yeah, and judging by how many people are actually in the seats at 10:30, it might still be a little too early. It's not usually full until
that's a good one.
10:40.
That's a good one.
I refer to the opening set as previews, you know, like before the movies.
That's how it is, and they keep rolling in. That's awesome. Talk to me about Redeemer by the Sea Lutheran Church in regards to a church, maybe from a personality kind of point of view, and it's tough to say that because there's obviously a several people, but how would you define the church personality-wise? What's your assessment?
I would define the church as biblically based and mission-minded.
Okay.
I didn't explain a little bit about the history when you had asked me. The church has been around for 25 years. As a matter of fact, a little plug for November 1st, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary
as
a congregation, and we've got some fun things planned on the weekend for the community, a little block party on Halloween, and then some special services and an afternoon concert on the 1st. And I did not ask. I don't know. Maybe I have to pay for that airtime there.
Nah. Thriving Financial is the one that's sponsoring Church of the Week. So you're catching a break there because they're helping you out.
But it is very exciting that, you know, the church has a history and has been in the community. And you know that church has changed a little bit over the last 25 years. And one of the great things is that we have a lot of stability with people that are lifelong church members, but we're also reaching a lot of new families. So it's kind of, it's a dynamic congregation to minister to, but it can be a challenge at times as there's such a diversity. I like to think of it, that's what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be people of all different backgrounds, all different socioeconomic status, etc.
That's a pretty accurate description, especially when you're looking in Revelation. I mean, it's pretty impossible to think when it says from all tribes, from all nations, right. From all tongues, from all peoples.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's not rocket science there. There's reading. Okay, yeah, that's a good process there. People don't understand maybe because different denominations have different emphases. Mm-hmm. What would be the emphasis for the Lutheran Church? What do you guys, what is the drive, so to speak, that works for you guys?
Well, I hinted at that just a second ago when I said biblically based. From the Reformation going back to the 1500s, confessions have not changed. And so we're based on the solas of the Reformation, sola scriptura, sola Christus, sola fide, sola gratia. In Latin, basically, the scripture alone, faith alone, Christ alone, grace alone.
Right.
So that's really, I think, in a nutshell. Some other things that we do have historic liturgy. You know, we believe that in worship, God speaks, we respond. Worship is not just a time for us to come and throw our request to God, although we do plenty of that, but also to be ministered to by him through the word and through the sacraments. And so we've got that historical grounding in our church. But again, just a freshness application of the gospel.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's cool. Now let's go back to that. So scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. And and not necessarily in that order, but I mean, that's the idea. So it's an important element for Redeemer by the Sea Lutheran Church to communicate to people, look, our authority is scripture. I mean, we're not, you know, this isn't bounce around. This isn't, hey, let's take a couple of, you know, bones, so to speak. Let's roll the dice. Let's roll and see. You guys are using the word of God as your core and your directive.
Amen. In our new members class, I'm always telling new members, you need to be searching the scriptures yourself and always checking what I say, what any of the elders or Bible study teachers say against the word of God. We have a simple way that we summarize it. If the Bible speaks, we speak. And if the Bible's silent, we're silent. So if scripture commands, even if it's unpopular, we still hold to that scripture. And if scripture is silent and there's freedom, we don't bind consciences where freedom is given in scripture.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good way to approach it. What I do like about what you're saying specifically is, look at it, if a scripture says it, it says it might not be popular, it might not be, you know, the move of the moment or the culture of the moment, but then again, when Jesus came, it was really great for the drunkards and the prostitutes. It was really bad for the Pharisees. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. You can't change that. That's what's in writ. And it's like, okay. So it's like you get into that and you understand, look, there's an authority level and it's not always the popular, either from the religious point of view or from even the secular point of view. It is the truth, and you have to operate with it one way or another.
So capital T.
Yeah, capital T. I love that you guys do that. And then grace alone and faith alone, and it's what we teach on this show pretty on a pretty regular basis because, you know, we did do a statistical analysis. You'll appreciate this being a faith alone, grace alone minister. A person will sin somewhere in an average of about 10 to 15, even 20 times a day, including inward sins and outward sins. Then you times that by 1 year, times that by 80. It's about 292,000 times if you're decent, okay? Or if you're like me, it's about 980,000 times. And then do you got that many good works? A, no, you don't. So it wouldn't matter, but it's almost funny because it's like, yeah, you didn't do that much good stuff anyway, but you do that much bad stuff. So that's good that you guys do that. What is the attire then? So I would assume the traditional service, it's a little more dressed up, right? It's going to be a little bit more, or is that not the case? I don't know. I shouldn't presume that.
Well, you see, I'm wearing a tie, not.
that's an interesting short sleeve, short tie, isn't it?
This is Southern California. And so even at our traditional service, we encourage people to come as they are. We don't want to put anybody off or keep anybody away because of how they're dressed. People do tend, you know, Sunday best kind of thing. But you will see people dressed in all kinds of attire. Second service, our contemporary service does tend to be a little more casual.
A little more cash. How long does the service last? I mean, if I'm sitting there, how long am I thinking, okay, I'm going to church. It's 8:30. We're going to do the traditional. I'm going to be here till ballpark.
As a preacher, it's not long enough. It's kind of, you know, how I say the traditional service is about an hour and 5 minutes. And the contemporary service is about an hour and 15, hour and 20.
Okay, so it's nothing dramatic. You're not in a 2.5, 3 hour kind of, you know, process, especially because you got two services. Right. You're in a great facility right there in Carlsbad. So I mean, I know it pretty well. So it's a beautiful area. It's a wonderful place. When you got to the church, so you've been there. You're going your fifth year. Right. When you got there, now we only have about 3 minutes left in this segment. Then we're going to hold you over for another segment. But when you got there, the first year had to be a lot different now than the fifth year, because in the first year you get there, you're like going, okay, you know, trying to figure out how was it when you first got there? How is it now? Comparatively, how is it now? So how was it when you first got there? Was it a bigger challenge because you just didn't know what you were getting into?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting how things change and yet remain the same. So a lot of the challenges continue to be the same in terms, I think, all our churches in terms of getting people involved and helping them find a ministry that really motivates them where they can really serve. But there has been, it has been fun to watch kind of some of the cultural shift and the change in culture that we've gone through. I think, first of all, just a congregation, you know, Lutherans have historically Germanic roots. And, you know, here comes this young Italian pastor. And I don't know that they know what to do with me. But, you know, really just to give it time to kind of understand what had been there, 21-year-old congregation with some history, and then to really find the gifts and the strengths that this congregation offers and to kind of grow with that and grow on that. So we're doing a number of things the same, but then we've really grown in some areas that I think are key that are really going to help us in our future of growth. So
now you're a part of that tradition though. See, so first when you got there in the first 21 years, you were just introduced to that tradition for that church, not for the Lutheran church, but for that particular church. But now in that congregation, going in your fifth year, you are now a part of that tradition and a part of that process with your signature in it.
Right. Yeah. I was talking to a pastor the other day. So now I've been there long enough to not only be able to complain about the mistakes of my predecessors, but to be able to have to work hard to undo my own mistakes that are now traditions that why are we doing this?
Now you can look at it and go, yeah, okay, I need some work here, right? Excellent. We're going to take a short break and then we're going to come back. You feeling pretty good? It's pretty comfortable. Yeah. So it's a blast. Here's the deal. You can go to RedeemerByTheSea.org. That's the website, RedeemerByTheSea.org. You can call the church, 760-431-8990 or 760-431-8991. That's what it said on the website. It had both sides. So
just use 8990.
Just use the 8990, so we'll skip the other one. We're going to take a short break, come back, talk more to Pastor Augie about Redeemer by the Sea Lutheran Church. Very good stuff so far. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Ain't no mountain. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. We're hanging out here with Pastor Augie from Redeemer by the Sea Lutheran Church. I want to let you know to reach the church, RedeemerByTheSea.org. That's pretty straightforward, RedeemerByTheSea.org. Phone number 760-431-8990. That's 760-431-8990. 8990. Also, they're located at 6600 Black Rail Road in Carlsbad. Very easy to see, very easy to find. So far, doing a great job, Pastor Augie, so I appreciate that. Our time is tighter on this one, so I'm going to ask you a question that you're going to have to try and condense the answer best you can. How did you know ministry? I got to go into got to do this. Got to be, I got to do this. The Lord wants me to do this. How'd you know that?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people have a similar story in that God speaks to you when you're younger and then you put it off and you think maybe he said that and then a little bit later it comes back up and then it comes back up. So I really think from the time I was a child, I had an idea that I was going to go into ministry. My background is actually in the Catholic Church, nothing against the Catholic Church, but that's where I was and I wanted to be married and that doesn't work with ministry and you know, the pastorate in the Catholic Church. So I kind of started a career path. Met my wife. I'm giving the very short version here.
Yeah.
My wife, who is Lutheran. And then in the process of getting into church leadership in the church that we belong to in the Phoenix area, learned that it was actually possible for me to go into ministry. So I began to re-fan the flame and say, wow, this is really possible for me. And so began to talk to my pastor, applied to the seminary. So I'm what they call a second career guy. I got a background in science and in computers. So,
wow, that's fascinating. Now you have your family. You have two boys, two girls. Is that right?
Two boys and two girls.
Yeah, that's got to keep you busy right there. I mean, that's just being a dad, right?
Amen, amen. It's definitely a ministry in itself.
Yeah, there's no question about it. That's a big ministry too. Talk to me about something that's going on at church. What else would you like to bring up? What else is going on at the church that you can talk to us about?
Well, first, I don't want to neglect to mention that we've got a very strong preschool and kindergarten with about 275 students.
Wow, so good.
That's a wonderful part of our ministry. It really does help us reach into the community and provide a service for this Christian education that these young families are looking for and the parents need to break and all of that. And we get to love to teach these kids about Jesus. And so that's a big part of who we are. Also, I guess on our regular day-to-day ministry, if you will, we really focus on three areas: worship, grow, and serve. And the idea being that all of life is comprised of worshiping the Lord, not just on Sunday, but in everything that we do. And then growing as disciples of Jesus. So we have ministries. We're really excited. We just brought on a family ministry director, and his goal is to provide more opportunities for people to grow in the Word and to encounter the Lord. And he's taken youth on mission trips and stuff. So we're really excited about that. And then service is a big part. This year we established an initiative to do 1,000 hours of community service. That's service not counting, like if you're a Sunday school teacher, that doesn't count. But outside of our doors, we really want to be a lighthouse to the community and the world. That's our motto, if you will. Our mission statement is to be a lighthouse to the community and the world. And we do that through service, getting our hands busy helping the needs of the community. So
I love what you said there about outside the doors, because a lot of churches are becoming fortresses to be protected from the world. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm not a genius about some of this stuff, but smart enough to know, yeah, from an ecclesia point of view, that's not right. You're not supposed to be the fortress that retreats from the world and off in some, you know, jungle kind of. It's like, no. There's supposed to be engagement, interaction, service, love, and processing. And I mean, there's got to be something that takes place. I find it exceedingly difficult to love my neighbor if I will never, ever, 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 ever talk to my neighbor. It's like that becomes a challenge, doesn't it? That's good that you guys are doing that. Something that people should know, I mean, when they get there, is parking easy? Is it simple to process? They get to the church, easy to get the parking, easy to get in and out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know that sounds silly, but people who are visiting churches, that's important.
It's very easy to do.
Okay.
Parking, plenty of parking, big red doors on the front.
You can't miss it. Does your church have like the coffee and tea or stuff like that? Or do you guys know some people do that?
That's one of the things that's different since I've arrived. We've added an outdoor. We've got this beautiful outdoors in San Diego, but we had kind of fellowship down in the basement after service. And we're like, let's get outside. So we built a nice shade structure, and we have everybody just kind of flows out of the church into the patio area.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, that's very, very nice. Mm-hmm. And so from that point of view, people who are looking for a church, people that might be looking for more of a traditional, or people that are looking for the contemporary style, what you're communicating to our audience is, hey, we are a scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone church. And if that resonates with you, come check us out. There's no obligation. You don't have to, you know, people get worried that you will visit a church. It's like they feel they have to like give their social security number or something. Yes. It's like, no, right? Just visit, right?
Absolutely. You can be yourself and expect to find people that love and serve Jesus at that place. That's probably the only thing you ought to come expecting to see.
That's good, though. That's good. Let me ask you this as a question, because I used to be involved in ministry, as you and I talked about. Do you love it?
Do I love it?
Do you love ministry?
I do. Most of the time. I got to be honest.
I would rather you be honest. Trust me. People need to, because there's a lot of reward, a lot of blessing, a lot of favor. But there are moments.
There are moments. And, you know, I guess anything worth doing is worth the challenge. And, you know, good things come to those who wait, my mom used to say. And, well, she still says. And so, you know, there are days where sometimes the challenges seem bigger, but hey, pastors have to retreat to the Lord as well and say, God, you got to take this. You got to make it happen. Use me however you need.
Yeah, that's like 1 Samuel 30 in verse 5, where it says David strengthened himself in the Lord. You got to come apart and have that strength so you can give it back. Great job, Pastor Augie, senior pastor of Redeemer by the Sea Lutheran Church, which you can get to redeemerbythesea.org, 760-431-8990. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, and then we'll...